Join me in Mark chapter 8. Short reading. Note the title of the sermon this morning is Test Time. Mark 8:27, please. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. I do pray for the Lord's blessing here this morning on our time together as we unpack these few verses. Jesus said in the first chapter, as I've said time and time again, brought to your attention, that the kingdom of God is near. And he has shown over these eight chapters, as Mark has recorded it, the impact of that coming manifestation of the kingdom. He has driven out evil spirits. He healed Peter's mother-in-law. He healed the paralytic. He healed the demon-possessed man. He raised a little girl back to life. He fed thousands with just a few fish and a couple pieces of bread. And it goes on and on and on. This great showing, of course, drew attention from those who did not agree. His teaching was challenged. His teaching was questioned repeatedly by the Pharisees. The people had a difficult time accepting who Jesus was. He caused much stir, and the people either did not accept him at all, thought him to be just another one of the messiahs that had come along, and there were hundreds through this time. They didn't know how to accept him. In our reading today, Jesus asked, "Who do people say that I am?" In their attempt to label him, people began pulling names out of the history books, out of their religious history. Some say John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Still others, one of the prophets. The people just did not know how to regard this man Jesus. They didn't know how to label him. They didn't know how to name him, therefore accepting his teaching and his miracles. But then Jesus turns to the disciples and asks, "What about you? What about you? Who do you say that I am?" As Jesus was prone to do, he made it personal. He made it very personal. Imagine Jesus Christ looking you in the eye, looking at you face to face, standing there before you, and asking you personally, "Who do you say that I am?" Well, that is exactly where we are. That is exactly where we are this morning. The scriptures have been brought to us through the preservation of time, through the work of the Holy Spirit. And just as Jesus was standing there before the disciples that day, he is standing here spiritually through the context of this writing, asking you and me the same question. What about you? Who do you say that I am? And folks, please understand this. When Jesus stands before you, when Jesus stands before you, period, the time of reality is at hand. The time for truth is at hand. The time for complete disclosure is at hand. And each of us will have that opportunity to stand before Christ and see Him face to face. Here we do it through the Word. Here we do it through faith. Here we do it through these Scriptures. And it's time for truth. Not the truth of Jesus. Jesus is the truth, capital T. I'm not speaking of that truth. I'm speaking of your truth. It is time for truth to be revealed from you concerning how you perceive this Jesus Christ. And so I ask, what is your perception? We've read all these accounts. We've read all the stories that Mark has brought us to show the impact Jesus had, to show his teaching. So what is your idea? What is your perception? What is your thinking? How will you answer this question? What about you? Who do you say that I am? And please understand the gravity of this question. And please understand more the gravity of your answer. Because this has everything to do with your relationship. This has everything to do with your faith. This has everything to do with the religion you live out. This has everything to do with who you are as a person in a religious, faithful context as a Christian. How you answer this question. Because you see, how you regard Jesus Christ impacts everything. So how do you regard him? Do you regard Jesus as Savior? But not so much as Lord. In this type of relationship, Jesus is seen as the rescue worker, if I can use that title. As a rescue worker, Jesus is there to ease the pain. He's there to save me from trouble. He is there for me to pray to when things aren't going so well, and he's there to make my life better. He's there to make me happy. But this idea of Lord, not so much. Because to think of someone having complete lordship and reign over my life, that might be just too much to ask. I'm in control of my life. I know what I want. I'm an adult. I can take care of things. I'm an ambitious person. I know where I want to be. I know what I want to do. I know where I want to go. I have my list. I have my day's plan. I've got the objections or the objective. I have the direction. I'm in control. And folks, the American culture fosters that belief. And I am not submitting to the authority of anyone. Jesus as Savior, yes, I may need that. But this lordship thing, not so much. Is this you? Is this me? Because you need to understand, there is a vast, vast, vast difference in accepting Jesus Christ as Savior and accepting him as Savior and Lord. There is a vast difference. I believe they're inseparable. Or maybe this is you. Do you regard Jesus, as so many do, as a good and moral teacher? In this view, Jesus is a good and wise sage. He's a good moralist. He's a good moral teacher. His teaching is to be followed. His example of life is to be pursued. But God? No. You see, these do not believe Jesus could be God because that would require a belief in the supernatural. That would involve believing in a mystical superpower from a being from another place. And my rational mind just can't quite wrap around that. And this just could not be because this group, they don't believe in miracles. They don't believe in the virgin birth. They do not believe in the resurrection. All these things cannot be explained through rational reasoning. So evidently they must not be. I've said this before and I'll say it again. Do you realize that 85% or more of the seminaries in the United States who are teaching our preachers do not believe in the resurrection? They do not believe in the virgin birth? And they're teaching our preachers. They will say that Jesus is a prophet. He's a good teacher. But this being God incarnate, no. And I could go down the list of heresies throughout all of history. At the center of every one of these heresies is the question, who do you say that I am? Who do you believe that Jesus is? Well, I ask, how did Peter respond? How did Peter respond to Jesus' question? But before we get to that, let me tell you or ask you to notice something. Look at the question Jesus asked. Verse 29, but what about you, he asked. Who do you say I am? Do you realize that he gave a clue in his question as to who he is? Look at verse 29, the last two words. I am. I saw somebody say it. I am. You ever heard that before? Who did God say that to? Moses. In Exodus 3, 13 through following, God is sending Moses off to see the Pharaoh, and Moses says, who did I tell him sent me? I am who I am. I am is who sent him. Now, if you get into the Hebrew language, that phrase, I am who I am, is what God told Moses to tell the Pharaoh. That's not a noun. My name's a noun. Your name, a noun. God's name, I am, is not a noun. It's a verb. It's a verb phrase that roughly means, I shall be what I shall be. It shows action. It shows that God is always actively being who and what he is. I am who I am, or I shall be what I shall be. This is a verb phrase which signifies action. Now, when Jesus says, who do you say I am? What is he doing? Making a connection with God. Making a connection with the Father. Jesus is making a connection to God the Father using the phrase to the name himself. I am. Now, Peter and the disciples, a good Jewish mind, they would have picked up on that. And this is what got him in trouble with some of the Pharisees. I am. This is what God told Moses at the burning bush. And he used it many times. Go with me to John chapter 8. Go with me to John chapter 8. This phrase is significant. Look at verse 58 of John 8. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was born, I am. At this, they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself. Why did they pick up stones? Because they believed it to be heresy. Because he used the phrase to identify himself with God. Look over at chapter 10, verse 7. Therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. Look at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. Again, that phrase Jesus is using to designate himself. Now let's go back to Peter's response. How did Peter respond to Jesus in verse 29. Peter said, "You are the Christ." Now, please understand, this is a most dramatic and critical statement. This word Christ in the Hebrew means Messiah. In Aramaic, which is the language that Jesus and Peter are speaking, it means Messiah. It means the Anointed One. Precisely, it means the Christ of God. This is critical because of all the Messiahs that came through this time, not one of them were acknowledged as the Christ, only Jesus himself. So how did Peter come to this knowledge? Go with me to Matthew 16. How did Peter come to know this? How did Peter come to know to call him the Christ? Did he come to this on his own? Look at verse 16 of chapter 16 of Matthew. A recording of the same account. This is from Matthew's writing. "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven." How did Peter come to know this? It was revealed to him by God the Father. This is critical. We do not have the freedom to regard Jesus in any way we desire. We do not have the freedom to use our own intellect and come up with these fanciful ideas of who Christ is. This is a vital lesson for us. We are not free to think of Jesus any way we want. It is to be revealed to us through Scripture. Many times we might ask, "Who is Jesus to you? Tell me about your relationship with Christ. Who is Jesus to you?" Well, that is almost the wrong question. Now, I have to be careful here because that's what Jesus is asking. But we have to be careful that we don't open into that question to allow us to think of Jesus in our own terms. Peter could not. We are not to think of Jesus in our own terms. Rather, it would be better to ask, how do you perceive Jesus as the Scriptures relate them to you? How do you regard Jesus from Scripture? It's like Peter saying God, or Jesus saying God revealed this to Peter. How are we to regard it? It is as Scripture tells us. We are not free to handle this issue of who Jesus is just any old way. So here's the script, here's the issue. The Scriptures portray Jesus as the Christ of God, the Son of God, the one in whom the Father loved and was well pleased. The question is simple for you. Do you accept this Jesus? As Peter was asked, as the disciples were asked, I ask you, what about you? Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that Jesus is? Is he the rescue worker? Is he the good teacher? Or is he the Christ of God?